And you're probably sick of hearing about more with less. So Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey is here to propose lots more with lots less. That's part of the title of his column today on federalnewsradio.com. I'm surprised that you've been able to keep your column wiener-free for as long as you have. You haven't mentioned his name or anything yet once.
It is a wiener-free zone. We decided that long ago.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I have been enjoying the New York Post headlines. Say no more. But
yeah, exactly.
They are having a field day.
Your headline is actually rather interesting in your column today. Doing lots more with lots less. What's that all about?
Well, sort of anticipating, as you know, the House Government Oversight Committee next Thursday, is scheduled to vote on a proposal that would freeze government hiring to the extent that agencies could only fill one job for every three vacancies. And the idea is to get down, reduce the government by 10%. And, of course, we don't know the details of this yet, but we know how they've worked in the past. And in the past, that you've had hard and firm freezes that suddenly started thawing right away with the Defense Department and various agencies exempted from it. And the thing I would point out is if this happens, and I suspect it will, I believe this will be the first job freeze since 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And the government, as you know, and anybody out there who has been in government for any length of time knows, the government as well as the country changed dramatically because of 9/11. There's some things we do now we didn't do then. There are things we did then that we don't do now. But the government itself, the makeup of the government, is very heavy emphasis on homeland security, on various internal kinds of security, border patrol, beefed up CIA, everything in that area is beefed up. And if these presumably are considered essential jobs, how's the freeze going to apply to them? How will it impact certain jobs? And that's what I'm going to be looking at in the Monday column, is who's in, who's likely to be out, mm-hmm. and lessons learned from some of the past government freezes.
Yeah. It was interesting. I had Reg Wells from Social Security Administration on yesterday. And the message that I took away from that was they're under a hiring freeze, so he only hired 700 people this year. And I thought that was a little bit weird. A hiring freeze doesn't always necessarily mean total freeze, zero new people.
Right. I'm not sure that we've ever had a total hiring freeze, or if we did, that it lasted for any considerable length of time. You know, you just get tremendous pressure from constituency. And my favorite example, and I did not invent this phrase, I wish I had, but I've heard it somewhere, and nobody can figure out where it came from, is the Washington Monument cut.
Mm-hmm.
That is,
I thought you made that up.
Well, I'm going to, if now nobody claims it in a week, I've got it.
I think you should.
But, you know, the idea is you freeze the Interior Department's budget. You say you can't do anything.
Right.
And so the Secretary of Interior says, it's April. The school kids are coming down. All those yellow buses from all over the country down around the mall and the monument. I think I'll close the monument.
Right.
And I'll close the Smithsonian, too.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have authority to do that. But you know what I mean? You close something that's very visible to the public. You close Yellowstone National Park to the public.
The campers show up and can't get in and start raising
And they
ruckus,
call their congressman, and, and the congressman calls the secretary. So that's a Washington Monument cut. And they, you know, they want to avoid those, and the agencies have to be careful in not flaunting this before Congress. But, you know, the Internal Revenue Service, they're talking about freezing the Internal Revenue Service, cutting jobs there, and, you know, at a time when we need every penny we can get.
Right. The whole idea of more with less, you and I have talked about this before. I think the whole concept is kind of shaky in the first place, because you're assuming that there are a whole bunch of slackers and that you don't need those slackers. And if you can just make the slackers go away, then you're going to be fine. But you're assuming that automatically if you cut X percent of the workforce, that those X percent are going to be the slackers and not the good people.
I got a fascinating email today from a guy in a labor department agency, and they directly impact the people. It's the impact jobs and salaries and all that kind of thing. And he's in a district here in the east, not in the Washington area, but in the east. And he gave the total breakdown of his office, who does what. And he says there are two people who are literally indispensable. He said without them, this operation can't function. And they are both retiring this year. And he says, if we can't replace them, we're just going to stop. And you know, you can say it shouldn't be that way. The people should be cross-trained. There's still time. But it was just interesting. And there, I looked at it, past freezes, government freezes, and the exemptions as they popped up. And President Reagan ordered a freeze. Actually, I think it was his first order of business was to freeze federal hiring, mm-hmm. as he had promised to do in the campaign. Mm-hmm. And there, they thought it out. They learned from a 1970s freeze. They thought it out. Then they had a number of exemptions in it for types of jobs and whatnot. But what I thought was interesting, and people who don't like Reagan won't like to hear this, but it, part of his exemption order said no contractors are to be used to replace government workers or to take over government work. So don't, not this sleight of hand kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Freezes are always interesting exercises, but it reminds you of what the generals say about a battle. You can have the best battle plan in the world, and it's good up until the first shot is fired.
Yeah. It's kind of like a game plan in basketball. With the basketball playoffs, I hear people talking about game plans, and I'm not a basketball fan, but I don't understand how one can possibly work, because as soon as somebody makes one move that's contrary to what you'd laid out, then the whole thing's shot.
Yeah, and coaching's got to be simple. You say, get down to the other end and make a basket, and when they come up here, don't let them make a basket.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
We've talked about the whole concept of less with less and right-sizing the work, and not just right-sizing the workforce. Are you getting any indication from some of the people that you're talking to and the things that you're hearing that anybody's taken a serious look at that yet?
No, I have not. This Labor Department guy gave you literally a case-by-case report from his little tiny office. But no, I haven't seen that yet. And again, you made a good point back there. Does the government have slackers? Of course it does. Every organization with more than three people probably has a loser in it. Is it the biggest in the country? Yeah, it is. Is 10% the right number? Who knows? 15, 20. Usually these numbers, they have an origin. And when President Clinton ordered a government reduction, you know, through buyouts and furloughs and layoffs and that kind of thing, his target was to get the government at or slightly below the level of John F. Kennedy when he was president. And Kennedy was a personal hero of Bill Clinton's. We've mm-hmm. all seen that picture of young Bill Clinton at the 4-H camp here in D.C. leaning over and shaking hands with the president. So that was his benchmark. But it could have, and that was 272,400 jobs, as we discussed before. But it could have been 283,506. It's usually an arbitrary number.
The column is headlined, Doing Lots More with Lots Less, and as promised, it's wiener free.
Absolutely.
All right, and you can see it. Thanks, Mike. Oh, you can see it on federalnewsradio.com right now. And you can get Mike's column in your inbox every day. Just click on Mike's column at federalnewsradio.com and then click on the link right next to it to sign up for Mike's email.